Now, what do George Orwell's 1984, The Comedy, One Man, Two Governors, and Dickens, A Christmas Carol, have in common? Not much, you might think, but they are all productions that one of the most active theatre groups in the county have staged, all in the past 12 months. And if you think that is impressive, they're back again at Chelmsford's Cranthorn Theatre next week, this time with a fantasy rom-com. And to find out about it, I'm joined now from Early Doors Productions by Justin, Darren, Lionel and Amy. Good morning to you guys.
Alan, good morning. How are you?
I'm better than I was last time you guys were in. I wasn't too great then, but you were making faces at me then, Amy, when I was talking about you. What did I say? One of the most prolific and active theatre groups in the county.
You did say county, yeah. Possibly world. We don't have the supporting evidence for that, but we will look into it.
Okay, well, next time I would like to know that. But seriously, this is literally the fourth production in 12 months.
Yes.
You've directed all of them.
Yes.
You're in this one. You're all in this one, in fact. It's, what do we call it? A fantasy rom-com. Heaven Can Wait. Who wants to go with this and why and what it's about?
I can tell you what it's about.
Okay,
so you've got...
Don't tell us everything.
All right. We've got this boxer called Joe, who has an accident, and a very considerate yet eager angel collects his soul before he actually has the accident, preventing him from the pain, what he thinks. And when he gets to heaven, turns out he's not due there at all. So they try to send him back, but a very keen boxing manager has had his body cremated already, and now Mr. Jordan is tasked with finding him someone else, which is it's delightful. It's so charming. They're trying to find him a body that he can actually continue his career with, and in the midst of all that, he has to contend with a new wife that's trying to murder him and meeting the love of his life and trying to convince her that he's someone else. So
as usual, lots and lots of twists, and it's based on a true story. No, sorry. It
depends on your persuasion.
Lionel, you are playing Joe himself.
That's correct, yeah.
And how do you feel about that?
It's very interesting. He's a lovely character to play because he's quite a sort of a happy-go-lucky sort of character in that, and he's sort of on his way to becoming, well, he wants to become like the world champion, sort of boxing champion stuff, and that as a heavyweight. But he's got a wonderful friendship with his trainer Max in the play. And it's a lovely journey that he goes on, where he's struggling in himself because he really wants this to win this sort of like heavyweight title fight, but obviously he hasn't got a body that he can do that in. And Mr. Jordan and his associates are frantically searching to find this body for him, and this journey he goes through, he ends up kind of getting himself into these situations in other bodies where he's having to help other people, and it's very funny, very 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 touching comedy.
It sounds like, yes, it's obviously a light-hearted comedy. It's a fairly light-hearted story. But would I be right in thinking that not necessarily serious messages, but there's a little bit something a little bit deeper to it in terms of exploring the character and some of the
definitely
the anguish and sort of mental.
There's a lot of truth in it. It's very heartfelt. There's some moments that pop out of the comedy, which is what comedy does great when it writes it well. That gives Joe some lovely moments where he can express to the audience how he's really feeling. It's touching, very touching.
Yeah, and Darren, you are you're one of the heavenly characters, is that right?
Yeah, I'm Mr. Jordan, the man in charge up there, trying to sort everything out. Very cool.
When you say the man in charge, do you mean the Almighty?
Well, I'd like to leave that up to the audience to decide if they feel.
I mean, I've seen some of your.
If they
previous...
feel that my presence is sufficiently lordly, then by all means go for it.
I did feel an involuntary thing that I just had to sort of bow down at your feet when you walked through the door.
Yeah, we've all been told to do that at rehearsals.
I'm gradually getting used to it.
you look quite comfortable in the position. So. Is the play set in heaven?
So there are scenes that take place in an otherworldly location, as it were. But no, most of the play is largely earthbound, as Lionel was saying, as we run around trying to find him just the right body that he could use for the 60 years he has remaining. He's very upset about this. He needs just the right body to go on. So, yeah, we're largely running around the New York locale trying to find just the right body for him.
Do we get any clue or indication as to why this mistake happened? This mistake whereby he
unfortunately, somebody who works for me, a young angel, an inexperienced angel, just his feelings got the better of him, and he just grabbed that soul a little bit too soon. Didn't wait for the death to occur first. And of course, he's reprimanded. But we're fair. We're fair.
Heaven is fair, I think.
Not too harsh.
Justin, tell us about your character in this.
I'm playing Max Levine, which is Lionel's boxing trainer.
That is a great name for a boxing trainer. That is Levine.
I mean, the great thing about Levine, I think it does mean best friend or something in Jewish or Judaism, I think.
Right, yeah,
something
it does,
like
yeah.
That. But yeah, it's a fish out of water story, I suppose. You know, you Lionel's character, as you said, he and Max are best friends, and in this position that Lionel or Joe Pendleton's been put in, it's the person he relies on the most. But obviously, when Max turns up, he has no idea who this guy is, because he's in this other body, and he has to be. To be fair, he's quite easily convinced about this, that he's best friends in a different body.
Or he's drunk. He does mention
or
that.
Or he's drunk. Yeah, he's obviously a drinker. But yeah, no, he's. I suppose as a character, he's got a lot of flaws, but he's always thinking of Joe. You know, he's his friendship with Joe is what pushes him along as well, I think.
Great. Look, we need to take a quick break there.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Phoenix FM, 10:15 on Saturday morning. Alan Johnson here with the Feel Good Saturday, and I'm chatting with Darren, Lionel, Amy and Justin, who are all part of the... what do you call it? Not
cast.
The crew. Cast, that's the word.
Although we do that as well.
The cast of their latest production, Heaven Can Wait. It's next Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Thursday,
the
Friday,
Cranbourne,
Saturday,
isn't it?
That's right, 2, 3, 4.
Your usual home there in Chelmsford. It's a fascinating story, this. And when you told me about it, I thought, yeah, this is vaguely familiar. It was originally a film. Justin?
Yeah, the play was 1938, and then in 43 a film version came out called Here Comes Mr. Jordan. I'm not quite too sure why they changed the title. I know that this might sound a bit dull, but I know there was another film called Heaven Can Wait that came out around the same time but with a different story, so whether the studios swapped the name around, I don't know. But then in 1978, the Warren Beatty film came out with the original title.
Which I think is the one most people are more familiar with.
Yeah, I mean, we were saying while you played a bit of music there, that when we've talked about it with people, I've been quite surprised with the amount of people that have... Oh, well, it's a Warren Beatty film. We go, okay.
So it's one of those films that you might have seen on the TV or something.
Yeah.
And sort of,
the odd thing about this is that there's been more people who, when... You know, we talk about what plays we got coming up, have known Heaven Can Wait than Around the World in 80 Days.
Really?
Yeah, when we did Around the World in 80 Days, the amount of people we sort of would say, this is what we're doing, they go, I've never heard of it.
Or likewise, what's it about?
Yeah, what's it about? You think, are you kidding me? I mean, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, that is a surprise. Well, there you go. Now, Amy, you're directing this.
Yes.
What are you looking to do here? Are you looking, obviously you're looking to entertain people, but you're looking for more than that? I often ask you, whatever you put on, you know, about messages, is there a particular sort of theme here? Is there anything more, or is it purely just to entertain people?
Oh, tough question. I always like to push people, as you know, and I've got such a good nucleus of people that we can use now.
Yes.
That are so talented, that I like to give them opportunities where
it's
they
a
can
shame they couldn't come in this morning, isn't it?
Oh, cheeky, Alan.
Only kidding.
I think my sarcasm is rubbing off on you. I love it. Yeah, and I want to give them the opportunity to play different roles and push themselves where they didn't think they could go before. It's what EDP are all about. We're trying to push those boundaries and show off how good you can actually be, even if it's amateur. So this one in particular, obviously we'd had 1984, which was really heavy, and had been a massive task for Darren, who did a
wasn't the most cheerful thing you've done, was it, really?
It wasn't the most cheerful thing, but oh God, it was a moment. It was really good.
It was good.
Obviously, One Man, Two Governors, which was like this modern farce, really colourful, really light-hearted, sit back, eat some popcorn. Christmas Carol, which is like this wonderful traditional story in a traditional venue. So we
That was Ingatestone Hall, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, we had a great time. It was really, really good fun. So this one, I wanted to bring it back to the rom-com. We haven't done a proper rom-com since Philadelphia Story, which was 2-3 years ago now, can you believe? It was another level. We needed to bring that back for the audience perspective as well, so they get to see us do different things. And this particular story had such a charm that we thought, you know what, we'll grab it for the entertainment value, because it is, it's just a wonderful piece, really wonderful piece.
And you talked about sort of, or Justin, you were talking about some of the things you've got coming up. Do remind us what you've got in the wings.
Well, in May, we're doing Macbeth, a place called The Space, which is in London. The play we're looking to do in November...
So, sorry, that Macbeth, is that going to be straight? I appreciate that it is a straight play, but...
It's going to be EDP twisted. Yeah, that's
obviously, it is the language. We are doing it, but it's set... modernish, if not futuristic. That's what I think Amy's view is.
Right, okay.
And more than anything, I want... sorry to interrupt. I didn't want it to be the Shakespeare for the Shakespeare people. I wanted it to be for the Shakespeare for the people that come and see our shows. The people not necessarily be interested in Shakespeare, or haven't been subjected to it very often, where they can go, I get it. I totally get it.
Whatever you do like to put your particular... exactly stamp, because that's very difficult to define, but you do,
yeah, let's go for stamp.
You like to adapt, don't you, and put a particular...
I think that's good, because, you know, obviously if you do what everybody expects, then it becomes quite dull. And
yeah,
and
I think it's a bit like covering a song. If you're going to cover a song, then
make it your own.
Do something with it. Don't just do a replica.
I mean, obviously in the amateur world, there's only so many plays that people tend to put on. I like to think that we as a company probably expand from that, but if you, I don't know, whatever play you might pick, there's probably going to be someone else that might be doing it, and they might be doing it very similar. Well, at least you know you're not going to get that when Amy's directing it. It's her interpretation.
I didn't even pay him to say that, Alan.
So Macbeth is coming up in May.
It is,
and then you're looking beyond that.
Halloween. Frankenstein.
Well, nothing between May and Halloween.
Oh, Alan, I need a break. I need an holiday.
Disappointed in you. Frankenstein, is that going to be at Ingatestone Hall?
It won't be, no. Right. It will more than likely be at the Cramphorn. Okay. It's still under negotiation and we're still writing the script at the moment.
And you're already planning ahead to next year as well?
Of course we are.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's all up on your website, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. It is. Visit the website.
Look, time is getting the better of us, but... why should people come along on Thursday, Friday, Saturday to the Cramphorn?
Because they should look out their window at this miserable weather, this miserable winter, and they should go, I'm missing the summer and I'm missing a feel-good moment, and they need to come and see this show. It's going to cheer them right up.
And you got a little bit of a taster for us.
Yeah, we have. This is Joe Pendleton and Max Levine. Thank you very much.
Hey, well, take a good look at me, Max. Don't you know me?
Sure. Everybody knows you are Mr. Farnsworth.
Where are your eyes, you dumb ox? I'm not Farnsworth. I'm Joe Pendleton. You're Joe.
You're nuts.
Look, Max, maybe I don't look like Joe anymore, but I'm him just the same, and it's all your fault.
My fault?
Yeah, if you wasn't in such a goddamn hurry to burn me, you big stiff, I wouldn't be in this jam right now.
Look, your wife's right. You want to see a doctor.
Well, you're going to need one soon if you don't...
Look, I'm a busy man. If you're screwy...
Say, you're just the guy I want. I want you to prove something. Tell him what happened, Mr. Jordan. Oh, this is Max Levine, my manager. The guy that cremated me. Max, this is Mr. Jordan.
Yeah. Sure. How you doing, Mr. Jordan? See, how about a drink? You know, just the three of us.
Sure. Help yourself, Max. Oh, I forgot. You can't see him.
Well, maybe I will after a couple of these.
Yeah, you can't see him because you ain't dead yet.
I ain't nuts either. Well, I got mine and this drink's yours and... that one's Mr. Jordan's, and if he goes missing, well, I'll just get a taxi down to the booby hatch.
Brilliant stuff. That is Lionel, Darren, Amy, and
Justin.
And Justin, of course.
They've known each other for years.
Absolutely years.
I'm going to get you a program. I'm going to ring my name on it.